You're about to depart soon. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. You know, it's amazing. I mean, think about it. We were born at this moment to be a part of this. You're the generation that has received the return of the Lord. Now, many people go, well, I've heard this before. Die. There are certain things that had to be fulfilled. First of all, Israel had to become a nation. And that happened in 1948. That was the generation. Hello? That's the generation. From that point on, he said, we'll see the return of the Lord. See, Israel had to become a nation. So we know that we're of that generation. We see that what the Word talks about, wars and rumors of wars and so forth, and we'll get a little bit more into it. We see all of these things that are happening. We see that fear is escalated in the world. We see that the enemy has popped up his head worldly, globally. We see more and more evil crimes than ever before. We see your struggle and your fight is harder than it's ever been. Amen? Is everybody with me? Come on, man. The last 7 months has been rough. Well, thank God the word number 7 means complete and perfect, so we're getting through that hump. We're humping through. And in this area of where we've been coming from and going through, you know, I shared before, we're all connected to the wilderness. You're either going in or coming out. That's just the way it is. And in this, God is training his people. Everything right now, that's why things are escalating, because there is a quick preparation that needs to be done so that when all hell breaks out, you won't be moved. Is everybody with me? There's something that we've got to get into our spirit, because the Bible tells us that many deceiving spirits will be released in the latter days. Many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving, seducing, familiar spirits. Amen. What's happening is God is trying to bring unity in the body of Christ. He's setting up certain areas in the body to fulfill a specific call. Let me give you an example. We have a discipleship house. Amen? Well, that's a specific call, isn't it? Not everybody in the nation is in that discipleship house. I mean, we believe everybody should be there. But not everybody's there, because there's a specific... Listen, this ministry has a specific call. If you're under the anointing of this ministry, you're a part of that call to fulfill your call. Is everybody with me? There's something God is imparting in you. Imparting in you. So we want to fulfill our call, don't we? I want to talk about fulfilling your call. Go to Matthew 24. Oh, hallelujah. And Matthew 24. Wait, do you have that printout? Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 24. In verse 3. And we've read this before, and I'm going to read it again. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" You know, we talked about this already, the end of the age of grace. It's not the end of the world, it's the age of grace, meaning favor, God holding back his judgment and co-labor. So the end of grace means God's grace is going to depart, isn't it? That means that the spirit of grace must depart. When the end of the age of grace departs, the spirit of grace must depart. So that means that you and I must depart. Amen? Because you and I are involved in the spirit of grace, known as the Holy Spirit. And they said, "Well, when is this going to happen?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am a Christian,' and will deceive many. 'Hi, I'm such and such. I'm an evangelist. I am a this, I'm a that, and I've got a word for you.'" Well, you got to be careful. Yes, you're to go to Alaska and do all of these things. That's good. I'll wait for God to tell me. Hallelujah. I'll take that. If it comes to pass, the Lord visits me in a dream of vision or gives me more confirmation, thank you. Other than that, I ain't flying nowhere. He said, "Be careful. And all you, and you will hear of what? Wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end of the age, or the end of grace, is not yet. For nation will rise against nation." And this word nation here means ethnic group. Is everybody with me? It means ethnic group. It means certain ethnic groups will rise against others. Amen? And nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there will be what? Famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. So look, let me share something with you here. Wade gave me a printout. It talked about all in one day. There was a strong earthquake, jolted the island of Vanuatu, in the South Pacific, prompting tsunami warnings. Mayan volcano in the Philippines. Six sharp explosions roared in the Mayan volcano. Okay, an earthquake in a magnitude of a 5.8 on a Richter scale in Japanese islands. Another earthquake centered along the Afghanistan border killed at least 39 people, and so forth. But these were all happened in one day. One day. Things are happening more and more. You think about it, let me tell you something. There are more earthquakes and stuff going on in one year than history. They're tailing up quickly. Quickly. Why? Because we are in a specific time. And the next verse will tell you, it says, "And these are the beginnings of what? Sorrows." So we are in the beginning of sorrows, aren't we? He says something very powerful. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you," or attempt to kill you, "and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Now he's talking about Israel. "And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." If you ever noticed lately that the spirit of hatred is intensifying, you've got to prevent yourself and cast it down from hating anyone. The Bible says, hate evil. I mean, did you notice lately that if something occurs quickly, you want to jump into hatred? Because there's been a sweep of demonic activity through this country of hatred. And it's been going on for about 4 or 5 months. But it's increased dramatically probably in the last 3 to 4 months. I mean, 3 to 4 weeks. 3 to 4 weeks. In this last 3 to 4 weeks, it's been intensifying. But it's about to lift. (Clears throat) And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Last days, he's talking about, isn't he? So we know that the gospel must be preached to all nations all over the world. It's your fulfilling your call as a servant of the Lord means that you are a deliverer of the gospel, a message. Gospel message is delivered by your calling. Does everybody understand that? The gospel message is delivered by your calling. That's exactly what he was saying here. Listen, you're going to go through all kinds of stuff, but all of the stuff you're going to go through is going to give you an opportunity to bring the message of the gospel. Amen? Let me share a couple things about calling. You know, so many people are so concerned about their calling that they lose sight that they're in it. Now, number one, God never interrupts himself. If there's a calling in your life, everybody knows they're called? Amen. The word called means invited. Amen. You've been invited to participate in the kingdom of God, to become a disciple of Jesus, to fulfill the carrying of the message of the truth. That's everybody's calling, isn't it? It doesn't matter how you do it. That's a part of your calling, isn't it? Amen? So many people are concerned and worried or fearful of what their calling is, but they lose sight because the enemy is always going to try to bring you ahead, isn't he? Amen? He's a pusher, not a leader. Has everybody got it? He's a what? A pusher, not a leader. Now, one of the things that the devil always tries to do is bring confusion. Now, God never interrupts himself, does he? Amen. So, what he does is he puts us in a fellowship to be mentored. Amen. As we're becoming mentored into the fellowship, why? Because it's not the pastor or whoever's mentoring. It's the Spirit of God that's mentoring you in a specific way through the anointing that's in the fellowship. Amen. What happens is many times many individuals go from one place to another and they get confused. Is everybody with me? When confusion comes, it means that you've walked out of your call. Why? Because God never interrupts himself. Now, if you know that God sent you here, then you're willing to be mentored. Is everybody with me? The men and women that are in the discipleship programs are submitting to a mentorship. Why? Because that is a discipleship. So that they can receive the anointing from the Lord that has been placed in this ministry to fulfill their calling. Everybody got it? You know, there are people that I know that have come into the discipleship house, men or women, and I know that they're not going to last. I know they won't last. Is everybody with me? Because the Spirit reveals the heart, doesn't he? It says God knows the heart, but man judges by the sight, doesn't he? Now, there are those that I know that will come and go. They'll take what they can and come and go. Not all of them are because they're not called here. Some of them aren't ready yet. They're not ready. See, the word call means to be invited. They're not ready to take that invitation and say, I accept that invitation and that call and grab hold to it. Is everybody with me? Many will take that invitation and show up to the party, but not fellowship. Has everybody got it? So they take that invitation and try to fulfill something in the flesh, because the call has got nothing to do with the flesh. It's all of the Spirit. And confusion comes. Frustration comes. Why? Because they're not willing to yield to the Spirit according to the calling that they've been called to. Is everybody with me? Oh, that's why Jesus said, deny yourself, didn't he? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Somebody can explain all this to me later. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, one of the things I really believe that the Lord is trying to do is, in fulfilling your call, is bring us understanding and revelation so we don't go astray. How many times have anybody ever gone around the mountain? Hello? I wonder why we go around the mountain. And it's not because he's coming. He'll be coming around the mountain. There's some people I know, as soon as I hear that one's, he'll be coming around the mountain. Yeah, you can hear that, you know. He'll be coming. Here he goes. And here he goes around the third time. And here comes Sparky. Where's that Spanky? Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 1. And now we've heard this verse over and over, and I'd like to hear it again. Come on, read it with me. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. I'm telling you, perilous times are here. And they're going to get worse. They won't get better. They will get worse. For men will be lovers of themselves. And of course, you know, hello. Lovers of money. Now listen, I want you ladies to understand, this is just not about men. You know what I'm telling you about? This means mankind. Okay? All right. You know. Praise God. For mankind will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents and spiritual parents, unthankful, unholy. Hey, parents are parents, I know. Unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make in ministries and make captives gullible men and women, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the what? Of the truth. Let me share something. Perilous times means it's going to be difficult because of the fight that's going to come against your calling. That's what perilous times are. Remember, I've shared something a while ago. You carry the will of God. Amen? You carry the will of God. The will of God is in you. The devil don't give a hoot about you. He wants to prevent the will of God from coming forth. And he'll do everything he can to prevent the will of God. Now, the will of God can only be manifested according to your calling. So if you're not fulfilling your calling, the will of God is not being fulfilled. Do you understand that? It is so important, because that's one of Satan's great deceptions. If you're not fulfilling your call, the will of God is not being manifested. Amen? Okay, good. Go to Matthew 22. Go to Revelation 2 first. Sorry, Revelation chapter 2. Well, let's go somewhere else. You got your Holy Ghost eraser? Praise God. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So we can confirm. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 1, read it with me. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons. Woohoo. Why? Let me share something. They're falling from their faith. You know what they're falling from? Their call. Let me tell you something. You know when you're falling from your call. You know. You don't understand. Just because you know something doesn't mean you understand it. There's a lot of people that know the Bible but don't understand it. You know, but you don't understand. Things are different. You're not in unity. The flesh runs your life. There's entanglements in the world. Does everybody understand that? So many people are trying to fulfill a call in their life by what's been prophesied on them. That's not God's calling. I've had many prophecies in my life. According to all these prophecies, I should have traveled the world about 20 times. I should have been a gazillionaire by now. And owned half the country. Well, that's not been fulfilled. What happens is people chase prophecies instead of chasing the Lord. I mean, there's been word of knowledges and so forth, and words that I've given, but I don't remember them. I don't write them down. And then people come to me later and say, yeah, man, that came to pass, this, that, or whatever. Well, praise God. I mean, because it wasn't me anyways. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure I'm not going to call somebody, hey, did that come to pass yet? Because that's not God. If I'm concerned about something having to come to pass, then that's not God, that's my flesh. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And I'm sharing with you, too many individuals chase an emotional prophecy, which is not their calling. Is everybody with me? This is how deceiving, seducing, familiar spirits get involved. This is how people go over their mixed anointing. It's called mixed anointing. Does somebody have a good intention? Yes. I'm telling you, I've seen people prophesy and so forth. And they had good intentions, but they weren't the will of God. Oh, I just felt the heat come up. Whew, my legs got hot. Is everybody with me? Good intentions has nothing to do with the will of God. Because you're going to find sometimes that the will of God don't feel good. Hello. It doesn't feel good. God isn't interested. He's not the God of feeling. He's the God of truth. It's truth that sets you free, not your feelings. Amen? Too many people chase a feeling and get into bondage. But they're not free yet. Amen? They're not free. Fulfilling your call takes discipline. Doesn't it? It takes discipline. You must be disciplined. Why do you have to be disciplined? You must be disciplined not to be led by how you feel. You must be disciplined to wait until you're sent. Amen? You must be disciplined. What happened here was they departed from their calling because of doctrines of demons. You remember when Peter told Jesus, hey, listen, nobody's going to get to you except unless they get through me. You know what I'm saying? Far be it, Lord. He just told me he had to go get crucified. What did Jesus tell him? Satan, get behind me. Why? Because he came with a doctrine of a demon. He said, Satan, get behind me. He knew that that wasn't the call in his life. He knew he wasn't supposed to get behind Peter and have Peter protect him. And what did Jesus say? He said, your purpose and your desire is not of the will of God, but the will of man. Amen. When Peter got all puffed up, said, man, I feel good. That's my Lord, man. I'm going to kick butt out for him. He forgot he was God. Hello. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 2. Thank you, Master. Fulfilling your call. Revelation chapter 2. Oh, to God be the glory. And he writes to the, in verse 1, to the angel, the church of Ephesus, write these things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. I am a believer. Well, the word believe means to what? Follow. So if they're not followers, they're liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I mean, you think this is a beautiful church. This is a beautiful, man, praise God. This sounds wonderful. Sounds like they're all doing their calling and the will of God. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love, or your first what? Call. Watch. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the what? First works, or your call, fulfill your calling. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you what? You repent. What he's saying, return to fulfill your call. What happened? They fell out of their call. Listen, everybody's called to feed somebody. Everybody's called to share the gospel, if you're a believer. Everybody's called to tithe. Everybody's called to worship. That's a part of your calling. There are specific things that everybody's called for that we all have in common and a part of our calling. But then there are specific individual things that God uses you to fulfill your call. Amen. Listen. Think about this. Jesus is our high priest. Amen. That's why the Bible says that you and I are called to be priests, aren't we? Amen. Because he's already priest. He's our shepherd or main. He's our pastor, isn't he? He's our deliverer. He's our healer, isn't he? He fulfills all the offices of the body of Christ, doesn't he? But yet he ordains and prepares and positions individuals. What does he do? He fulfills their call by placing them in this and prepares them to fulfill that call. Amen? Now, think about this. If he just chose to stop everything, okay, that's that. We're not going to do any more pastors now. We're not going to have any more shepherds. Does everybody understand that? See, so your call is to continue on what Jesus has already started. And whatever part or place in the body of Christ that he's asking you to fulfill, or else things would be ceased. So, fulfilling your call is to recognize that you have a place in the body of Christ, and everything that you're doing right now and going through is preparation for the ultimate result. In the meantime, as you're fulfilling the call of God, he runs you through things. Wilderness experiences, in, out, and waiting to go back in. He runs you through trials and tribulations. You're learning who he is. It causes you to want to know him even more. Why? Because when you know him, you become like him. You can't become like someone you don't know. Hello. Oh, to God be the glory. Go to Matthew 22. So he was telling him, listen, I appreciate all the stuff you're doing, but you're fallen from your call. Get back to your calling. Amen? You know, there's so many people trying to fulfill everybody else's call but their own. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 22. To God be the glory. Return to your calling. Matthew 22 and verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. These were the ones that were promised already. Amen. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, the fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come on to the wedding. But they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. They weren't worthy. See, just because you've been invited, there's a training process to where you find you're worthy. That's why Jesus said there are many who are called, chosen, and faithful. Amen? So because you've been called, you've been invited, you have a calling. God has prepared a calling, predestined for you. But it's your purpose to fulfill, walk in position. Amen? So that you can fulfill your calling. Is everybody with me? He said, look at these. That's why many are going to come to him in the end and say, Lord, I did this for you. Lord, I did that for you. I cast out devils. Come on, I did all these things for you in your name. And he said, I don't know you. Depart from me. You practice lawlessness. Let me tell you, lawless practice is not fulfilling your call. Because if you're not fulfilling the call in your life, you're fulfilling the call of the devil. Does everybody understand that? And it's called lawlessness. See, God is going to begin to narrow things down. Before it was a little bit broader. The Bible says that your walk and my walk is narrow and difficult. He never said it was sweet and easy. Narrow and difficult. He said, but the way to sin and death is wide and broad. Amen? You're going to find that that narrow is getting narrower. You used to walk like this, you're going to be walking like this soon. You'd be doing the James Brown, I feel good, you know. You'd be sliding sideways. But you won't be saying, I feel good. I'm doing his will. See, but things are getting narrower. They're getting tighter right now. God is exposing the little pin drops that you thought we were, I mean, we thought we were getting away with it. We thought it was all right. Well, I ain't heard nothing about that. Next thing you know, you pick up that movie you used to watch and laugh at, and you're finding, ooh, conviction. Whew. You're beginning to toss things away that you thought were okay. Because it's getting narrow and narrow. Pretty soon you'll disappear. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, okay, let's go on. Verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There he'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." You know, I love this part because, you know, this sounds like, check this out. When the king, in verse 11, comes in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment, and he said to him, "Lucifer, what are you doing in here? You thought you had a place here?" Does everybody see this? Who else did he call friend? Judas. Remember? What are you doing in here? Where's your garments? Why, they're the garments of righteousness, aren't they? They're the garments of righteousness that allows us in the wedding. And that garment of righteousness is only granted to you with relationship with the king. But many will say, "Well, I know you, Lord." And he'll say, "I don't know you." Is everybody with me? Because they've fallen from their call. Remember, there's something important. You don't have a life. You gave your life to Jesus, so you don't have a life. If you're trying to fulfill your life, you're not fulfilling the call. You were bought with a price. That price still is there for me and you. Never leaves. For many are called, but what? Few are chosen. Those that were called forsook their calling and became unworthy. Then we were invited and called. But those that are playing that game of servant, but really not fulfilling their call, will be considered unworthy also. Is everybody with me? There's a lot of wannabes, but not willing to die bees. Go to Jeremiah 35. Oh, hallelujah. See, this is where you got to ask yourself, and I guess it's better to ask the Lord than yourself, huh? But you got to test yourself. Do you really believe that it's God's perfect will for you to be here? Does everybody understand? If you know that it's God's perfect will for you to be here, then you're fulfilling the call. Does everybody got it? So that when the enemy begins to hit you in all kinds of directions to chase a feeling or prophecies and everything else, you'll know that it's not a part of your calling. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Okay. Jeremiah 35. Is everybody there? Okay. Let's try somewhere. Go to verse 15. "I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, 'Turn now, everyone, from his evil way, and amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them.' Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, but you have not inclined your what? Ear or what? Or obeyed me. See, there's a place where you and I must incline our ear. We must be willing to listen. See, we've got so many tendencies to want to speak that we need to shut up and listen. Hello. Must incline your ear to hear, not to serve other gods. In other words, we're to deny ourselves, aren't we? Do you ever get with someone who can't be quiet? They're trying to convince themselves. Themselves. You know, I've shared many times, somebody who can't be quiet, their lips blind them. Their lips are moving so fast it blinds them, they can't see. Why? Because you and I must come to a place where we're willing to listen. There's a time to give. Amen? But there's always the time to receive. What did Jesus do with his disciples? He gave. What did his disciples do? Received. Amen? That's what they did. They sat around the feet of Jesus and listened. He brought them out to the multitudes, but he always brought them back and ministered to them. They sat around and they listened. What were they doing? Learning. And then he would take them out and he would test them to see what they learned. Remember when he did all the bread and the fish? And then he tested them. I think it was Peter that was willing to go to the 7-Eleven. Because they ran out of food. And Jesus said, what's the matter? Didn't you remember? Don't you remember what happened? Oh. Hello? Oh, praise God. We must incline our ears not to serve other gods. We must be willing to sit, be still, and listen. The Bible says, be still and know that He is what? God. Go to Luke 16. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is what? Unjust in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, I'm talking about things. I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about things that God has revealed to you. Those pearls. Our Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine. These special things that God has revealed to you. If you're not faithful. You know how many times you get a revelation? Man, that's a pearl from God. What you do with that determines whether you are considered faithful or not. Therefore, if you've not been faithful, unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's called serving other gods. Amen? That's considered serving other gods. That's why the Bible tells us that we're to labor unto the Lord. Everything that we do, we're to labor unto the Lord. Listen, all of you, you know, there may be jobs and so forth that you're in and whatever, and God is utilizing all of these things and what you're going through to train you. Most of the time we get uncomfortable because we're being exposed. And we have a tendency to blame it on everything else but self. Why? Because you're being squeezed. You're getting pruned for what? To bear more fruit. If the first word out of your mouth is feel, you better repent. Hello. He just shook hands with self. Hey man, how you doing? Feel good? Yeah. I feel good, you're disobedient. That's what self will tell you. Hello? Serving other gods. If you're serving yourself, you're serving another god, aren't you? Go to Joshua 24. Oh, to God be the glory. Joshua 24. Hallelujah. Fulfilling your call doesn't always feel good, but the end result is wonderful. That's why you must be led and not misled. Joshua 24. Now Joshua was a powerful man of God who served under Moses, didn't he? And he inherited everything that Moses had, didn't he? You know why? Because he is fulfilling his call. The first part of fulfilling your call is to serve. Serve what? Serve where you're under. Has everybody got it? Why? So you can learn. The Bible says serve one another. Submit to one another. First part of someone's call is to be a servant. If you can't serve one another, you can't serve God. If you can't minister to the Lord, you got no right ministering to nobody else. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 15, Joshua was a powerful man of God. In fact, he was one of the only, him and another brother were the only ones that made it into the promised land. Right? Caleb? Yeah? They led many people into the promised land, but they're the only two originals because they were both what? Faithful servants fulfilling their call. Hallelujah. In verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we've got to make that choice and come to that conclusion that no matter what it takes, you're willing to fulfill your call. No matter how it feels, no matter what it seems, no matter what people have said, amen, you're willing to fulfill your call. You cannot give up. Never give up to fulfill your call. Once the enemy knows you've given up, he'll pull you into another call. And then you'll be calling for help. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Oh, praise you, Lord. Isaiah 66 and 1 through 4. Would you read it with me? Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? What's he talking about here? Listen, if you're not fulfilling your call, a part of fulfilling your call is what? Building the house of God. And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb is as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering is as if he offers swine's blood. He who burns incense is as if he blesses an idol. Ooh. Just as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their what? Delusions. Whew. And bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that which I do not delight. See, you and I are called to building his house or his kingdom. That is the basis of our foundation and our call. It's expanding his kingdom, isn't it? But you can see here that delusions can come to individuals who begin to move out of their calling. Delusions. Come on, we used to have those many times. We'd spend all night partying and talk about all the great things, and we wake up with no pennies or nickels to rub together. That delusion puffed away. Amen? Oh, we had great plans. But they weren't ours. They were the enemy's. And they were all delusions. Oh, praise God. Go to Titus chapter 1. Fulfilling your call. Titus chapter 1. Starting at verse 5. Is everybody there? For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation, or what? Insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to drugs or alcohol, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable. A lover of what is good, sober-minded, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word that he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. What's he talking about? Fulfilling your call. One of the things about fulfilling your call is to set things in divine order. Everything of God is in divine order. When you begin to stray from divine order, you begin to open yourself to familiar spirits, seducing and deceiving spirits. Everything is divine order with God. He never interrupts himself. Never. He's the God of divine order, isn't he? Amen? So in fulfilling your call, what you're doing is you're setting things in divine order. When you're not fulfilling your call, you're moving things out of divine order. And what you do is going to affect others also, because it will not progress the kingdom of Christ. It will not put you in position in God's timing that is predestined for you. Amen? Because everyone here is to replace someone of some position at some time. And if you have fallen to the lust of the world and not fulfilling your call, you will miss that divine position that is predestined for you. And you will have to wait until he prepares you for another place. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 Timothy 3. And starting at verse 1, this is a faithful saying. If a person desires the position of leadership or office in the body of Christ, he desires a good thing. It's a good thing. A person must then be blameless, a husband or wife of one, tempered, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drugs again and stuff, wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a what? Novice. Lest being puffed up with pride, he or she fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he or she must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he or she fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, let me share something with you. These are qualifications, aren't they? He's saying, listen, first of all, must not be a novice. Must not be a novice. That's someone that's self-positioned instead of Christ-positioned. When an individual self-positioned, familiar spirits linger in that position. Is everybody with me? And it may seem good at first, but it brings bondage. And I have seen it over and over. I've seen it over and over. Because they are novice. They are self-positioned individuals, not positioned by the Lord. And it makes a difference. And there are qualifications in fulfilling your call that you and I must go through. Number one, are you ready? Successfully complete each phase of testing. Fulfilling your call. Qualification for fulfilling your call is successfully complete each phase of testing. So when you fail, you do it again. Does everybody understand that? Number two, you must know the caller. Number three, know your call and season. Now let me share this with you. Because a part of in fulfilling your call, there is a season where God is going to reveal to you or make a transition in your life. Why? Let me share something with you. Paul said something very powerful. He said, I became many things that I could save many souls. In the spirit, you are not trying to fulfill somebody else's calling. You're not. And this may sound strange and it may sound contradictive. You're not trying to fulfill your call. You're trying to fulfill the call of the Lord. That means that you must be whatever He wants you to be, where and when He wants you to be it. Not according to how you want to be it. Amen. There's times when He wants me to be a biker. And there's times when He wants me to be a whatever. I'm not going to all those places tonight. But we must be willing to be whatever He wants you to be to rescue someone. Amen? You don't know what it is. Next thing you know, you'll be so intense together like Paul did. Hey man, he's so intense together and had a revival. He didn't even know why he was sewing a tent together. Hopefully they used it. You know, but he was in a place working for over a year, sewing tents together, laboring. What was he doing? God had placed him in that position. Believe me, sometimes you wonder, what are you doing, Lord? You know, why am I here working like this? You know, so many people go, well, that's not my call. Your call is what God is asking you to do right now, today. He's the God of now. That's what moves people out of position, because they're so bound up by religion that they can't humble themselves. I'm a pastor. I can't wash no toilets. Hello? Come on, that's not my call. You know how many people say those things? As I'm laying towel, I'm thinking, Lord, is this my call? Die, guy. Okay. Praise God. He's faithful. I'm telling you. It doesn't matter what's what. You do what he's asking you to do. That's a part of your calling. That's fulfilling your call. See, resistance in what he's asking you to do is rebellion. And then pride comes in because you don't think that you deserve that. You deserve something better. Because you've labored so hard and prayed so hard. And you've read the Bible for so many hours. And you've witnessed to so many people and planted so many seeds. And you're a faithful tither. And the Lord says, go to the church and clean toilets today. Because I love you. And he's waiting for you to say, yes, Lord, because I love you. Does everybody understand that? What's he doing? You're fulfilling your call. It may not feel good, but he knows what's best. And you be in there washing that toilet. Praise God. Remember, he's not calling you to walk on water in there. And next thing you know, somebody will come in. Or somebody, you'll meet somebody or something, and you'll go, man, now I know why he had me doing this. Or maybe he just wanted to humble you. Maybe he just wanted to test you to see if you were truly laboring unto him. Let me tell you, he tests you to find out whether you're laboring unto him or yourself. Hallelujah. Number four. You must be completely sold out. Number five, you must be willing to be mentored. You know how many people don't want to be mentored? They want to be tutored, but not mentored. Are you ready for number six? You must resist reasoning. It's not butt ministry, it's a head ministry. Number seven, you must learn dominion. Fulfilling your call is a place where you have dominion. Dominion means authority. You must learn. You must know your authority and your call. Jesus didn't take no garbage from no devil. He knew what he was called to do. And he knew his seasons. He was a child that grew up. Amen? When it came to the point after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he knew then. In fact, when they were in the wedding, what did his mother do? Come up to him and said, hey, what about all of, they ran out of wine. He said, what do you want? What's this with you, woman? What do you want me to do about this woman? What did he do? She realized, ooh, man, that's not my son. That's my God. What was he doing? Fulfilling his call. What did she do? She ran to everybody. Listen, whatever he asked you to do, do it.
and quickly.
She knew her son's call. It was revealed to her. Must learn dominion. They were amazed at his authority and how he spoke. Not pridefully, but with dominion. And number 8, are you ready for this one? You must learn to wait. Oh, hallelujah. You must learn to what?
Wait.
Yes. Praise God. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fulfilling your call. Part 2. Praise God. You must overcome your fears and your past to fulfill your call. Amen. And we'll talk more about fulfilling your call Tuesday next week. Because I can't, there's no way I can get this all in here in 30 seconds. Everybody pray in the Spirit and you can interpret it and we can... Fulfilling your call is very important. We must come to realizations and realities about things that God is requesting us to do. That keeps us qualified in fulfilling our call. Amen? See, you got to understand something. In dominion... Remember I said you got to learn dominion. You can say fulfilling your call now when you learn dominion. See, because without learning dominion, fulfilling your call will become prideful. But with dominion, fulfilling your call is fulfilling His call. Because with dominion, everything that He has is yours. And everything you have is His. That's why when Jesus came, He said, if you see me, you see the Father. Why? Because He said, we are one. And the Lord wants you to be one with Him in fulfilling your call. Because your call is His call. So everybody got it? That's learning dominion. And we'll talk about this Tuesday. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Master. Lord, grant revelation and impartation. Lord, bring us to that place where understanding will be manifested. Open our ears, eyes, and heart to continue to hear what Your Spirit is saying. And bring us to that place of rest. For You said, be still and know that I am God. Lord, we want to fulfill the call You have for us. So, Lord, please continue to open doors and shut doors. Guide us in Your path. Snare our enemies in their own nets, allowing us to escape safely, and visit us in dreams and visions. And continue to help us die to self. In Jesus' name.